Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rexrode here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well out there. Joe Rexrode, what's going on? How are you?
Got a couple things going on today real quick. I know usually I just say great and then we keep going, but I got a couple things going on. One is Caroline Rexrode and I went to Hamilton last night, which was amazing. Okay. But I didn't realize that it's like 3 hours. And and there's also an intermission. So I got like four hours of sleep. So I'm gonna apologize in advance for that. Also, like, I have a feeling today, you know, this doesn't happen in my life anymore, but you guys probably relate. Maybe not. Maybe you can, maybe you can't. You're young people. You know, sometimes you wake up on a certain day and you're like, dude, what did I do last night? Okay. That's kind of how I feel about the Jared versus Joe segment yesterday when I had an out-of-body experience with Caroline, my 11-year-old daughter, next to me, looking at me like, dude, who are you? I have a screaming at Jared hangover.
It was potentially my favorite episode of Jared versus Joe of all time. I mean, there have been some good ones, but when you got to yelling at him about Ryan Tannehill, which we'll have that a little bit later in the show, when you got to yelling at him about Ryan Tannehill yesterday, it was potentially my favorite thing ever.
Yeah, I just can't get with his brain, you know, but I have to deal with it. So I sometimes feel I'm hoping I'm doing the Lord's work at times, but other times I'm like, what?
You're just mentoring him.
That's true. There is a lot of mentoring going on. There's a tweet. I got to find this tweet from Coach Dyson at Coach Dyson. Why waste your time with this segment? If you need cash, call me and I'll help you. But this little crybaby yelling match is beneath you. Well, thanks for thinking it's beneath me, Coach Dyson. Also, I'll take any cash you have.
Well, I was going to say, if you've got cash, well, maybe we'll talk.
I tweeted him. I said, cash? Well, let's talk. What you got, man?
Just beautiful stuff yesterday from Joe Rexrode on Jared versus Joe. Michelle, how are you? What's going on?
I'm doing great, and I still haven't gone back and listened to this segment, so I'm going to do it very shortly. And I can't wait to listen to it at 6:05 in the morning.
Yeah. Well,
and shout out Caroline Rexrode just sitting there. I almost wish she videoed you.
Well, she actually at one point laughed. So that's the thing. So
she made an appearance. Yeah.
So we're driving to Hamilton. Well, to eat before Hamilton. And so like wearing nice clothes as I scream and not like a tuxedo or anything. But at one point, I don't remember what it was, but she started laughing. Like we're in the car. So it's in the, you know, it's like the car. What, you know, the speaker, and she starts laughing. I'm like, well, I guess I better introduce Caroline Rexrode to the segment. Well, let's make this the biggest bleep show segment ever.
It was amazing. I'm glad that you did it. We'll have some audio on that coming up here in a little bit. Joe, day one on the field yesterday for the Titans. We'll get to what was a popular theme yesterday here in just a few minutes with Treylon Burks out there, but overall, what are some things that stood out to you yesterday at Titans training camp?
See, I don't even have my notebook out for this because I got some stuff that I wrote down. But,
oh boy.
I mean, the big takeaways are, you know, look, everything gets tweeted the moment tweeting is allowed, right? And then the Titans send out the footage of Treylon Burks and the diving catch from Tannehill. My biggest takeaway, and I did some takeaways at the Athletic, you know, just like the little briefs that we do. My biggest one was Caleb Farley. And I think I'm probably somewhat isolated on that, but I guess it's also because I went in saying I was planning to watch him in particular. a lot, but plan to watch Treylon Burks a lot too. Caleb Farley, right now is much more, I think, solidified as a guy who's going to start at cornerback for this team than I necessarily expected going into camp. And day one day, but his change of direction, his speed, his strength at times, that you could see even in shorts and helmets, he looked really good. And there was actually one play that was probably like perfectly, it was like perfect for the Titans. It was a Treylon Burks. It was a comeback route that had to be perfect timing, perfect throw, because the coverage from Caleb Farley was as good as you can have. And Tannehill completed it to Burks on Farley, but it was like basically as well as you could play that without just knowing the route and jumping it. But he was my number one takeaway. I thought he looked really good, and there's so much to find out there. Of course, you don't want to overreact. There's a lot of overreaction to Burks going on right now. You don't want to overreact to anyone right now. But I think this is a really encouraging sign for this defense. And if they have him and feel good about him starting on one side, and he's all through all of his stuff, as he did say yesterday, he is, then that's. That's my number one. But, Burks was obviously good. Dez Fitzpatrick, I did notice for sure. This was another takeaway, is that Dez Fitzpatrick's going to make this team. Now, I had him on my 53 anyway, but, of course, I had, just about every receiver. But I think Dez Fitzpatrick could be the fourth guy. Now, that's – keeping in mind that Kyle Phillips, I do think it has that slot role, waiting for him if he can go grab it. But Dez Fitzpatrick definitely has gotten better. I don't think there's any doubt about it. So it's mostly it's mostly passing stuff, because that's all you have right now in camp.
Well, I was going to ask you if you wanted to join Jared in planning the Titans Super Bowl parade route yesterday. If you quite had the direction they were going to go down Broadway, how many floats do you think you could fit on the parade? He's a little happy yesterday as that show started.
Oh my gosh! And again, look, it's a big deal. It's a big deal that Treylon Burks. I agree with everybody who said you could see a little bit of a difference. I mean, he tied the shirt. It was like the old school, like 80s, showing off the oh, yeah, six pack, but it's not like it's some major transformation, but I mean, you could tell he moved really well. You can see, he looked yesterday to me on a few plays like, okay, that looks like the guy we all watched whenever we watched Arkansas football last year. Big, fast, shifty, good hands. So it was a good day for him. If he's all good now, and look, I think that I know we're gonna have audio from him later. I think that he handled it well too, everything about the spring and all that. So now we're gonna see if he can stack days and also performances. But yes, what year is he going into the Hall of Fame? Will Jared introduce him? These are burning questions at 6:08 a.m.
These are burning questions. Some important veterans speaking yesterday after Titans practice day one of training camp as well. Kevin Byard addressed the media yesterday. One thing that got brought up with him was the Cincinnati game and the motivation that it serves moving forward. And that was brought up again with Ryan Tannehill as well. Here's what Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill had to say about using that game as motivation for he and the team heading back into this season.
Candid about the way the end of last season affected you. How do you now kind of use that wound, as you've called it, going forward to drive you as you look to kind of repair it, heal it, whatever you need to do?
I love the little add-ons there. Yeah, it's just fuel. You look at, things in your past and experiences you've been through, and you can learn from them, and you can use them as fuel as you move forward. So, that's the thought here moving forward is attacking this year, each and every day, and trying to get the most out of it.
So that was Ryan Tannehill yesterday, who, by the way, was in a pretty good mood yesterday. A lot of chuckling going on up there.
Birthday boy.
On podium. Happy birthday to Ryan Tannehill yesterday. But, look, this is something we talked about yesterday with John Robinson in terms of, like, at some point you got to turn the page and move on. And, a motivated Titans team is not a bad thing. We talked about this before. They've had a lot of success the last few years. They've done a whole lot of winning in the regular season, and that's great. I think if you've been around here for a long time, you remember a time where the Titans did not do hardly any winning in the regular season. So they have gotten this team and this franchise to a point where they are very good and they are very respectable in the regular season. And now it's about whether or not they can take that next step. And, if the Cincinnati loss is going to be something that drives them all year long, then I guess that's a good thing if you're a Titans fan out there. But to me, it still all comes down to, what sort of chemistry can you put together at training camp? What does the offensive line look like? I mean, there's so many just X's and O's part of this and personnel fits that, this training camp is really, really important. And, just as observing yesterday, Joe, I think it was good that the offense had a first good day. Like, everybody's talking about the defense and how good the defense is going to be. And I fully realize it was, shorts that they're running around in there yesterday. But anytime you can establish yourself a little confidence, if you're this offense, I think that's a good thing as they try to, get started here.
Yeah, but what's wrong with the defense?
Well,
Right? Now, yeah, look, I agree. I agree certainly with something that Jared and Caroline said early in their show yesterday, which is it was a quick practice for one thing. It ended earlier than it was scheduled to end, which usually is good. I mean, sometimes I guess a coach is so pissed off he'll end up practice. He or she
will get off the field.
Yeah, but no, I mean, it was very professional. Very professional first day. It's a, it's a team with really good veteran presence and leadership, and guys who, for example, Jeff Simmons, right? Now he's on the field, and he's not talking contract, but he's a guy now who has become a great player, and he's a leader too. So they've got some guys like that. They got some of the older leaders, obviously. Beyer, Tannehill's a good leader, so they got that, and they can weave in young guys and kind of this is how we do things around here. And obviously they have, they've the reigning NFL coach of the year. So, I mean, there's a lot to like about the approach, and now you get into the nitty gritty and see how, how good you can get. And like you said, I mean, chemistry and all that stuff. That's what this time is about, improvement in chemistry.
We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll dive a little bit deeper into Treylon Burks in his first day of training camp coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
It's made a pretty good difference. Really with my, asthma and my breathing, just being able to, handle it a lot better. And, just being out here with the team just makes it even more better for me.
What are some things you did to handle the asthma better
for me? Conditioning, running, putting myself in situations where I knew that my asthma would flare up, and just being able to push through it and, just be dominant.
Was that in the past, has the asthma, gone away seasonally? Is that, more of a summer thing and the football season is better?
Honestly, I just, condition and keep conditioning until, I don't feel it no more, and, just making sure that I'm taking my inhaler before practice, after practice, just staying on top of everything.
Should you have done more of that stuff before you?
Say again?
Should you have done more of that stuff before you showed up here the first time?
I would say yeah. That's just being accountable, and I should have took a better, attack on that. And, now that I am, you can tell the big difference.
That was Treylon Burks yesterday, the story of day one of Titans training camp, the first round pick for the Tennessee Titans. And, we'll get to the on the field stuff here in just a second, Joe, but what did you make of that? The way he handled the asthma questions, and specifically the question by Kuharski there of, should you have done more heading into the spring to maybe be ready for this? What did you make of the accountability that Treylon Burks took there to that question specifically?
Yeah, I thought it was good. It was, good to see, I think, if you're the Titans. And it was a good move by him. You know, just I mean, it's interesting, too, the question before that. I think Austin Stanley asked the question about the, you know, like, is it time of year? And he basically said, if I'm in better shape, it's less of an issue, right? So,
right.
So he basically made it clear. There is asthma here. There's an inhaler involved. It's a thing. But the more that he's focused on conditioning, you know, then the better it'll be. So, yeah, I think it was a good case of accountability, public accountability for the spring, which, look, you said it yesterday, and I agree. You know, to, like, you said it yesterday before the first practice, and if he can, I'm not saying he has to make huge plays every practice, but if he can be out there like he was yesterday, no problems at all, no issues in every drill, every rep, taking those extra throws with Tannehill when they have down periods, then, like, we're just not going to care about OTAs and minicamp. And the thing is, if he does that stuff and he has a slow start to the season or whatever, you know, it's still, like, is anybody going to go point back to that stuff? No. I mean, no one ever talks about that stuff until, again, they're in that time of year and it's all you've got for football.
Exactly. And, you know, Treylon Burks obviously was turning some heads yesterday on the field. We kind of joked about it earlier, but Jared seemed to be very impressed by Treylon Burks yesterday out there on day one of training camp. The Titans have obviously tweeted out a video of a great diving catch that Treylon Burks made yesterday. I think it was the second play of the day out there. Of course, the first one to Nick Westbrook-Aquino. So you talk about a tone setter for camp and the way the season's going to go. Just a long bomb to Westbrook-Aquino. Can't draw it up any better than that, Joe.
Yep, caught it in stride. No diving necessary. Touchdown.
That's right.
But, yeah, it was, you know, they went deep. And, of course, Jared told me yesterday his theory is that Vrabel and they all could spend, like, made sure that the coverage was just so that they could hit a couple deep shots and give them confidence. Hey, I can't prove him wrong. I cannot prove him wrong. But no, I mean, it was and you're talking about beating Fulton with Treylon Burks, you know, on that second play. So, now, again, at some point we turn to Christian Fulton. What's going on, right? Yeah. It's always at the expense of someone when it happens in your own training camp. But overall, there were other plays, too, that Treylon Burks made. I thought he looked pretty decisive running routes. There seemed to be pretty good timing, you know, between Burks and Tannehill, which is pretty impressive on day one, you know, of training camp. Now, they've had a few days there because rookies and QBs and, like, injured players have been there for a few days. So they've been throwing. But still, you know, for in 7-on-7 and then 11-on-11, you know, periods, to have that timing, I thought was pretty good too.
Well, and lots of reaction yesterday online from Titans fans of Treylon Burks' big catch that the Titans put out on social media. Here's what Treylon Burks had to say after practice yesterday on his big catch to begin practice from Ryan Tannehill.
Talk us through that first catch at the sideline.
Honestly, you know, I just had a fade ball and just went and made a play for Ryan just to, you know, gain that respect and also just let him know that, you know, I'm going to always be there when he needs something.
So that was Treylon Burks yesterday. So obviously, I mean, he said all the right things yesterday after practice. That's a good start for Treylon Burks. And I think it's important from a confidence standpoint, not only for him, but for Tannehill too, because if you look out and you see the young guy making a play like that, and Tannehill kind of talked about it yesterday, you know, when practice was over, you raise your eyebrow a little bit and say, okay, well, I'll go back to him and we'll see what he can do there. So, you know, all in all, I don't know that you could have started better yesterday training camp wise if you're Treylon Burks, just from that standpoint alone of we've talked about, you know, building that chemistry between he and Tannehill. You know, you have to build trust. I think that's the word that keeps coming up. And that's been something that, whether it's been Firkser in the past or A.J. Brown in the past or whoever, trust is a big thing with the quarterback and pass catcher here in this offense. And the more quickly you can build that if you're Treylon Burks, the more opportunities you're going to get come game day.
Yeah, high priority and good start on that. I think you saw in the spring, saw it again yesterday, Tannehill and Westbrook-Aquino have good chemistry. You know, that's a good feeling there. between those two. Didn't see a ton, didn't see a lot from Robert Woods yesterday, but he's out there. He's running. I think that will work out well. And like I said, I mean, my fourth guy at this point, just based on the two things you see. One, there's some things that we can talk about, although
yep.
Jared hilariously asked a question yesterday to Tannehill to try to get it out there on the offensive line starters.
Yes.
He asked, by the way, and the Titans were still like, no, you can't do that. And he did it. So, hey, I actually give kudos to Jared for that. But based on – the reason I brought that up is because it's not just based on the plays they're making. I'm also looking at where guys are playing. Are they playing with the first unit? Are they playing with the second unit? Now, Tannehill was out there. Tannehill had a fair amount of reps in those different periods with the twos as well, certainly the twos receivers. So he threw to a lot of different people. He got a lot of work yesterday. But I would say right now Dez Fitzpatrick would be my fourth receiver. It's one day, just like it is with Burks. It's one day. But he seems to have really gone to work in the offseason. And again, why would you not when you have an opportunity like this? The guy made a ton of plays in his career at Louisville. I thought it was, they went up to get him, and people didn't project him as high as they picked him. And then he had a very disappointing camp as a rookie, but I don't think it's all that surprising to see him doing this. And it's good for the Titans, because even last year, you think about that Houston game, he was it, right? They were down to him, and he had a touchdown catch. He made some plays. He also made some mistakes that were costly. But you saw even then a little flash of, okay, he can do some things. And Vrabel had some interesting comments on him yesterday too.
Well, and was recognized for their offseason program. They do their players of the offseason, and Dylan Radins was one of them on offense. Dez Fitzpatrick was one of them on offense as well. Now, I think some people take that a little bit too far as to what that means as they move forward, but improvement, a big part of it. And if Dez Fitzpatrick is improved enough to the point where he can be a reliable member of the rotation, and we'll see. I still, like you said, it's one day of training camp, but we'll see. If that's the case, then all of a sudden, maybe you're starting to feel good about the depth at wide receiver at that point too. If Treylon Burks is going to be available, and if Dez Fitzpatrick has taken a major step from last year to this year.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought up the offseason award winners. First of all, they had more than they've ever had. They're expanding that. We're going to be half the team by 2025. But it's a really interesting group, because it doesn't mean this is the case, but it feels a little bit like the guys we need to have confidence and really step up, if you're the Titans talking, are on this list, right? Not all of them, but Farley, Radins, to a little bit lesser extent, Fitzpatrick. But then, by the way, the other ones are Torrey Carter, DeMarcus Walker, Imani Hooker. So it's not like that across the board. But Farley and Radins in particular, it's you're immediately is that motivational? But then again, is Mike Vrabel going to give out awards like this if people didn't do some things to earn it?
According to Jared,
that would raise some eyebrows.
He set the first play up for the Titans offense to have a ton of confidence. He's like, I need you to give them a look where they can score a touchdown.
Vrabel's just playing chess out here, man.
He's the
puppeteer.
That's why you don't win coach. Not everybody wins coach of the year, Joe.
Yeah, that's true. And coach analyst of the year would be Jared.
No question about it. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion on day one of Titans training camp coming up next. We got a lot of your thoughts to get to as well on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing day one on the field of Titans training camp and getting Joe Rex Road's takeaways from it. We talked a lot about Treylon Burks, but Joe, you said it to begin the top of the show. There was another young player that really caught your eye yesterday that you were paying attention to, and that is Caleb Farley, who, of course, is coming off the ACL injury, battling for a starting position in the Titans secondary. So, obviously, the offense getting a lot of attention yesterday. So, what was it specifically about Caleb Farley that caught your attention and maybe made you feel a little bit better about where exactly he is right now heading into this season?
Yeah, going through my notes here, very, very good notes, very good notes.
Oh, I bet.
But there was one play in particular that he was covering, Robert Woods, just did a great job of just mirroring his route and, you know, just, I mean, he's got a long stride. Again, we've talked about his length. That's been a theme this week since he had the couple of picks that Vrabel talked about on the opening day presser. But he looked fast to me. He looked a lot more fluid to me than I thought he ever looked last year, and maybe I was imagining it last year, like before the knee injury. Obviously, a year ago, there was so much talk about the back. He looks, you know, go back to the draft period, you know, post-draft period after they picked him, and, you know, some talk about, obviously, some teams were like, man, would never touch that, looking at the medicals and all that stuff. But the question of, so he hasn't played a lot of corner and all that, but he's this unbelievable athlete. But the question is, like, does the back, you know, do the multiple back surgeries take some of that away? Like, do you,
right,
like, is that all going to come back? I'm wondering, as I watched him yesterday, I was thinking about, obviously, it's the ACL, and you don't want an ACL. You don't want any kind of injury. You don't want to miss a season, right? But maybe that year or, you know, the past several months has also really helped the back, you know, helped him move past that. I also subscribe to the theory of people who say, like, if you, no one ever talks about former back injuries, you know, it's probably always going to be something. It's certainly going to be something for him to try to prevent and think about and all that stuff. But I wonder if that time off while healing the ACL, rehabbing that, just building his strength and everything has really benefited him getting beyond all the back stuff. He just looked fluid. That's the word I would use above all others yesterday. And also, like, he knew what he was doing. Like, he was very confident and very physical. And I think that time off also, he has really worked, you can tell, you know, like on his upper body strength and everything. And he was, like, with Burks on the play I talked about earlier in the show, which was a quick, you know, timing route, coming back to the ball. Burks is a big, strong guy, obviously. And Farley, you know, those two battling is a heck of a battle, you know, in terms of just physicality. And it's just, you just don't have a ton of corners who can run well enough who can also be that physical. So I'm way talking it up based on one day of shorts and helmets. So I understand. I don't want to be that guy. But I'd say it was about as encouraging a day as you could ask for from him. And again, he was my top takeaway because I just wasn't sure what to expect. And he looked just different from last year before he got hurt.
Well, and Joe, you caught up with Caleb Farley after practice yesterday and chatted with him about all that and the offseason that he's had and getting ready for this season. Here's what Caleb Farley had to say yesterday after practice.
So it looked, I mean, like you're moving really well out there, and you feel like a lot more comfortable, like even in the confines of the defense and stuff.
Absolutely, you know, I think it slowed down a little for me. I just got to do a good job of showing up every day and putting my best foot forward.
Vrabel was talking about those picks. I know it was not the whole team and everything, but like, is that a confidence booster for you in a situation like that?
Well, I understand that doesn't mean anything. You know, I got a lot of work to do,
but. But, I mean, I guess, have you seen some things that have sort of given you that confidence that you can come out here and be a plus player?
It's always good to get your hands on the football. Yeah. Always good.
What happened on those plays?
Just thinking about my techniques and my responsibilities and, you know, competing, really, just competing. That's just the way it played out.
And you, I saw you out there, obviously, Robert. I know you and Robert are probably getting a lot of work against each other too, right? Trailing different guys. How much of a look are you getting from the receivers?
We work every day. You know, these are guys that are great at football, you know, good competition, and iron sharpens iron.
Well, it was interesting, Joe, like that answer that he gave you about the interceptions, like it felt to me, and maybe I'm just reading into this, like he wanted to talk about it, but he also remembered like what Vrabel said the other day about, yeah, it's great. You get two picks. Now real practice is about to begin. And then he kind of dialed off of it a little bit. It was interesting stuff there from Caleb Farley.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Vrabel. Yeah, you know, another thing about that interview is I have to remember, so there's two types of, so there's writer interview and there's broadcaster interview. That was a writer interview where I'm like, blah, blah, just like trying to chat, you know? Now, if I was thinking in terms of this is going to be the right one, well, Caleb, now let's talk about your interceptions the other day.
Because that's totally how you talk on the show. Yeah.
I try to. That's not how I sound.
Foghorn,
hey, Leghorn. Everybody. Caleb, how's that interception? So I'm listening to that interview and I'm like, yeah, okay, see, I got to remember that some of these may go on the air. I need to like say like less, like, you know, like, so like that pick, dude, like,
yeah, like a millennial out there.
Joe's just trying to be like us, Robbie.
Like, he is.
Well, it's kind of like Chris Farley, you know, interviewing Paul McCartney or something. Like,
yeah.
Remember when you had those picks? Dude, that was awesome. But yeah, Farley is, you know, he obviously the big story yesterday, which I understand, is Burks because of the spring, and he's a first round pick this year. And there's this team, I would still absolutely agree with anyone who says that, you know, this team, if you had to pick, I think someone has the question yesterday on the text line, right? Between Burks and Farley, who would you pick? I mean, it's Burks just because the offense so badly needs playmakers. And the defense, look, McCreary, I don't know if he's going to – that's another thing about yesterday, by the way. I don't know if McCreary's, you know, going to push or not. Long way to go. But I think that's what it would be. I mean, I think if there's a competition on defense, it's McCreary coming for Farley's spot. I'm not sure that's going to happen. And, again, that to me is – I'm not shocked that Treylon Burks was in better shape and made some plays. I'm not shocked with what I saw from Farley yesterday, but I think it's pretty significant. I think it's the most significant thing that, to me, he looks like he's clearly – the number one corner across from Christian Fulton. I didn't say that he lined up there, by the way. I did not break a rule. I'm just saying, in my opinion, in my projection, he'd be in the starting lineup. And I'll be interested to see if McCreary can make a run at that. If McCreary ends up being like a really good fourth corner for them who can move around as needed, I think that, you know, I think they're in pretty good shape there. And then that's really your only question in terms of starters on the defense.
Well, you know, Jared and Caroline talk all the time about speaking Vrabelese, and sometimes Jared specifically goes through a lot of hoops to what he thinks Vrabel is saying here. I will say this. One thing I have learned about Vrabel is when he just brings people up and starts talking about them, that usually means something, and he's brought up Caleb Farley a lot this offseason. So, look, I'm not saying that Caleb Farley is going to turn into Deion Sanders this year, but I do pay attention to when, with everything you're saying right now, it does make me think back to, you know, the combine when Vrabel started talking about Caleb Farley. Before training camp practices began, he started talking about Caleb Farley. Like, he's brought up Caleb Farley on his own a lot this offseason, and that is something I pay attention to.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I totally agree. It's usually it's, your people are trying to get it out of him on certain people. If he ever volunteers something, go somewhere on his own, pay attention to that. Right? Farley's doing everything right. He's done everything right and probably, and then some, you know, done extra, which again, it's like with Fitzpatrick, Burks. I mean, this is the expectation. I mean, everybody in this position should be doing everything they can to take advantage of the opportunity. It doesn't always happen. And with those injuries, you just don't know, like, what's he going to be on the other side? But I'd say it's pretty intriguing right now.
We'll have Kayla Anderson from News 2 coming up at 7 o'clock. We'll get her thoughts on the Titans and day one of training camp yesterday. Coming up next, it's time for the best and worst things in the world of sports. As always, we'll take your submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in the world of sports. And we need you. We need your submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What is your best thing? What is your worst thing in the world of sports for this week? 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, would you like to kick us off with your best and worst things in sports for this week?
I would. So I'll start with honorable mention on best. Honorable mention is Draymond Green accurately saying that these Warriors would just destroy the Bulls of the – he was like watching the 1998 finals, the Bulls and the Jazz, completely accurately saying that and then getting ratioed by all the people, all the old heads. I'm an old head, and I understand that things progress in 30 years. Good job, Draymond. But my best is just that football's back. And – there is going to be a time period here moving forward when camp, you know, kind of settles in and there's a little bit of monotony. Like, okay, ready for games now. When did the games come? But right now, as we actually have practice and news and things to watch and talk about, pretty sweet. That's an easy best. And my worst is just the entire thing with Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. I continue to be confounded by everything about it. The fact that you would feel it necessary to put a clause like that into a contract like that. The fact that it's just 4 hours, you know, like I spend that much time every day playing Tetris. The fact that, that they got leaked at all. I mean, everybody looks bad in that situation. It's embarrassing, and I can't wrap my mind around any of it. It being in the deal, him being in a situation where that would be necessary, and anyone wanting that out.
It's pretty incredible, and I can't wait until the Titans-Cardinals joint practice, and like Kyler Murray's not on the field because he's over on the sideline with the iPad,
getting in his hours.
Hey guys, don't worry, I'll be over here. I'm about an hour and 15 minutes deep. Got to make sure I get the rest of this work done. Just amazing, amazing stuff. Michelle Knezovic, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Okay, so I'm going to start with my worst. My worst thing in sports, I also just tweeted it out too on Twitter, but we saw the Detroit Pistons jerseys, which I personally loved, but we know how Rex Road feels about those jerseys. We know how other Detroit fans feel about them. There was a tweet yesterday. I should have known it wasn't real, but I was talking to David James this morning, he loves the Grizz, everything Memphis. And they tweeted out these retro teal Memphis jerseys. And I was talking to him this morning and I was like, those are sick. They're going to look so awesome. He's like, yeah, that tweet was fake. So that made me really sad. So that's my worst in sports. I loved those jerseys. Also the Kyler Murray thing. But my best thing in sports this week. So I don't know if you guys follow her on social media or anything, but her name's Pepper Pursley. And she is an 11-year-old. And I discovered Pepper during COVID. I was on a WNBA Zoom call. And I heard this little voice asking a question. And I was like, who is this little girl? So I followed her on Instagram, and she is a journalist. She is 11 years old, and she is on all the WNBA Zoom. She covers all the teams, and she actually got to sideline a WNBA game, two games the other day, and she's phenomenal, right? Obviously her voice is very, very – she's still soft-spoken because she is only 11 years old.
She's 11 years
old. But first off, that girl knows her stuff, and she was absolutely phenomenal. You see her interviewing Becky Hamm. She's doing a stand-up on there, interviewing players post-game. Everybody in the WNBA knows her, respects her. She speaks to panels, women's panels, about women in sports. And what a little trailblazer this girl is. She's sidelining on national television at 11 years old. Just absolutely incredible. So if you guys have a chance to look her up or anything, It's great, and it's really funny because she's standing next to these WNBA players, and she's about maybe five foot, if that. But yeah, just incredible. Follow her on Twitter, Pepper Pursley. She's great.
So at Pepper P
P E P P E R P E R S E L Y.
Nice. I think I saw one tweet about that, but I didn't really follow up on it. That's great.
That is very good stuff. All right, my best thing in sports for this week is Aaron Rodgers. It's not close. It's Aaron Rodgers on multiple fronts, and I'll go through this quickly, Joe. Number one, the showing up to training camp as Cameron Poe from Con Air was pretty epic from Aaron Rodgers, but also his troll job yesterday of Devontae Adams was awesome. So if you missed this early, I think it was last week, Devontae Adams was talking to CBS Sports, and he was talking about going from Aaron Rodgers playing quarterback to Derek Carr. And he said, quote, "Anytime you change quarterbacks from Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer, it's going to be a little bit of an adjustment," is what Devontae Adams said last week. Now, he later went on to, I guess, clarify what he was talking about. And look, I think Derek Carr is a fine player, but come on, let's be real about this. So yesterday, Aaron Rodgers is sitting at his locker room in Green Bay, and they asked him about Alan Lazard being the number one receiver for the Packers. And basically Rodgers' response was, well, you know, it's always kind of a transition going from Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer, talking about going from Devontae Adams to Alan Lazard. His troll game is epic. Look, you can think what you want to think. You can think what you want to think about Aaron Rodgers, and certainly he is an interesting fella, to say the least, but he's been on his A game this week. I'll put it that way.
That's pretty strong. That's pretty strong, especially if, like, you know, if that just came to him in the moment, you know. But either way, that's great trolling.
It's pretty good up there this week. My worst thing also is Kyler Murray's independent work clause in his contract. I'll add one to that. David Bakhtiari's knee, like, if he may never be the same again. Like, he spoke about it yesterday. He's struggling with it right now. He had another surgery this offseason. So it's been since December of 2020 was the last time he was on the field. And that was like 3 months after he signed a 4-year, $100-some-odd million contract. And he is still not on the field as training camp begins for the Packers this time around. So sometimes there are some injuries in sports that are rough. And his was described yesterday. It's always been reported as an ACL injury. And yesterday was kind of the first time that they were like, yeah, it was significantly more than an ACL. It wasn't just an ACL. So that's not good for David Bakhtiari.
That's brutal. That's too bad, because heck of a player. I can't believe that I didn't go with the teal jerseys as my worst, by the way. As soon as you said that, like, oh, duh.
Would you like an honorable mention?
Yeah, I'll give that an honorable mention. It's kind of a generational thing. So my buddy James Edwards, at some point we have to have James on to have this debate, because he covers the Pistons for The Athletic, and he's of a certain age. If you were a little kid, apparently, when those stupid teal jerseys were out, like, you love them and want them back. So it's like a generational battle going on right now about those jerseys, which are just awful.
Terrible.
And they have great jerseys. Like, they have
like them.
I mean, look, so those Memphis jerseys you tweeted out.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, those, like, it's fine to, I guess, if you're going to do, all this is like, you're selling merch. So if you're going to do it for a couple games, okay, that's cool. But I'm just very much get off my lawn on all this. If you have a good uniform, like when I see Ohio State, which has a very classic, great uniform, and they come out in some stupid gray, black, slate, blah, garbage, like, what are you doing? Wear your awesome uniforms.
Hey, those black uniforms Tennessee football wore last year, pretty sweet. I liked them.
God, they were awful. Oh, atrocious. Josh says best. Yeah, there you go. You got it.
Josh. I'm with you, baby. Best thing in sports, Marcus Mariota has been confirmed as the starter for the Falcons already. I hope it works out for those former Titans. Marcus, the starter.
I mean, that would have been pretty bad if he wasn't, right? Not that they, well, you know, I mean, obviously they have hopes for, you know, for their rookie. But, yeah, good for him. Good for him. Good for Marcus.
Josh's worst thing is ESPN can't come up with topics So they dwell on anonymous NFL coaches and executives. This is Josh on the text line. There you go.
I don't know. I don't know what that's a reference to. I mean, I know.
Is that Jeremy Fowler reference? Maybe. I don't
Lamar
know.
Jackson comment.
Maybe.
Well, that's The Athletic. We had that. We had Sando and so. But I'll say this. You know, if you have good reporters who put those. I mean, I think the Sando. I look forward to it every year. It's anonymous. I think sometimes when you grant anonymity and you have someone who is sourced in a league or you know with a team or whatever, it can be. You can get some revealing information that you just wouldn't get otherwise. So, but I think it does have to be used judiciously.
Ooh, very nicely done. This has been the best and worst things in sports. You can catch it every Thursday morning at 6:45 here on the program. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Kayla Anderson from News 2. We'll get her thoughts on day one of Titans training camp on the field. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.